2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now would you read that with me, please? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to take these next few Sundays. I'm going to talk to you about common fears we have in life and how to overcome them. What are you afraid of this morning? What causes you fear? Are you afraid someone's going to see your driver's license photo? Is that a fear in your life? And then look at the description where you told everybody you weighed about 30 pounds less than you actually do weigh. What is your fear this morning? Some of them are kind of childish when we think about it. I'm afraid of crickets. I don't know why. I can step on a spider barefoot, doesn't bother me. But I can't handle crickets. I don't know if it's because they jump or what the deal is, but it's crickets, all right? Now don't bring one to church and turn them loose in here and watch me scream like a junior high girl, okay? Just spare me that. I have a fear of heights. I don't even like being this tall. I have a fear of heights. We have fears in our life. Everybody does now. Anybody says, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. They're lying or they're so heavily medicated they don't realize what reality is. Everybody has fears. Now, overcoming those fears is the issue. Because it says here, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So these next few Sundays, we're going to talk about common fears that people have and how you overcome them. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit, I pray your blessings on this time we have. I ask you today, God, that our ears will be so carefully attuned now to listen for these next just few minutes. But more importantly, Father, to put to rest some fears in our life. Because we know, Father, that in this respect, you've not given us a life that should be filled with fears. And I ask you today to use this message, use this preacher, cause our ears to receive and hear from your word in the Spirit of God what we have, what you have for us today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated if you would. Some people's fears paralyze them. In other words, they're so afraid, and then whatever they list that behind the fear part, they're so afraid of that it paralyzes them. It keeps them from doing what they need to do in life. Some of people, it's the fear of man, and that's one of the messages I believe the Lord will have us bring. The fear of man, which is to deal with fear of man's approval over anything and everything. That paralyzes a lot of people in life. They're so apprehensive about it. There's about an $8 to $10 billion industry in America today where of plastic surgery, not people getting repair done that needs to be done, but people having plastic surgery to alter their appearance just because they feel there's something wrong with them, so they have to change this or that, that kind of thing. The first fear I want to talk to you about today is a very common fear that a lot of people have, and I think, to be honest with you, if we're honest with ourselves and others, every one of us to some degree fear death. Now I want you to hold your place in 2 Peter chapter 1 and go to Hebrews chapter 2 for just a moment. When you find that passage, I want you to go back to 2 Timothy 1. Hebrews chapter 2, just a few books from where you are, 2 Timothy, Titus, then Hebrews. Then chapter 2 this morning. When you find Hebrews 2, I'll give you the reference in a second. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. First of all, I want you to understand the Bible said God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And that word spirit in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 is a lowercase s, spirit, not capital spirit, Holy Spirit, lowercase s. That means way of thinking. No one is supposed to live. God does not want us to live in a constant spirit of fear where we're always afraid of something. Having a life that's filled with fears. And the way you overcome them is in that 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, where it says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those three things will help us overcome our fears. Power in the Bible in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, if you've gone back to it, I hope you have. Power in the Bible here means force and strength, but it also means authority. Having a right authority about something. And we'll talk about that authority. Let's just make it simple to you this morning. The authority, the power that helps us overcome our fears is this power. God's authority. If we will accept what this book says about anything, it will put to rest every fear in your life. Power. Love. That's not just you loving somebody. That's somebody loving you, and that somebody is the God of heaven. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? For example, if we really knew and understood the love of God and how God loves us, the fear of man would really melt away, quite frankly. Some people just live in fear of what people think about them. They are paralyzed by that and don't even realize that the God of heaven loves you unconditionally. That puts to fear, that puts to rest a lot of fears. God loving you. But wait a minute. The Bible said, then he's given us a sound mind. The word sound here is talking about a disciplined mind. You know, a lot of people's fears run away from them because they have no control over their minds. Some of you this morning, we've sung three songs or four. Three, four. We sing a bunch of songs. The choir has sung. You've heard special music this morning. We've read scripture and you're still not in this building yet. You're in here, but your mind is somewhere else today. And we don't, because we cannot control our minds. We do not have a sound mind, a mind that's disciplined enough to control. We can overcome our fears with a biblically disciplined mind. Now to Hebrews chapter 2 this morning, the fear of death. Oh, I know people say, and I've had people tell me, I'm not afraid to die. Those same people will say, I don't want to live to be 80. But I've never heard a 79-year-old say that. People say, I'm not afraid to die until the moment of death approaches you. Now, often we fear death for ourselves or we fear death for others, those close to us. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. There are a lot of uncertainties about death, yes? One thing is we do not know when we're going to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 17 says, but God hath appointed unto us, it's appointed unto a man, once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, God has determined when we're going to leave this life. It's God's appointment, not ours. Look at me, friend. We do not know when the day is. I heard a preacher say many years ago, I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I want to know where, and I'll just never go there. Truth is, we don't know when. Truth is, your appointed day to leave this life could be today. So I'm in perfectly good health, Pastor Johnson. Yes, I know, and I've seen that happen many a time. Somebody in perfectly good health left this life with no understanding or thought about it whatsoever. I've seen people before, they had a premonition about their death, and they felt like it was almost certain in their life, and they lived 20 years past that. What we fear about death is the uncertainty of it. And since we do not know the day of our death, we do not know when it is going to happen, that causes us to have fear. But know this, friend. Look at me. This is a very encouraging sermon this morning. We're going to talk about death. But know this. You have an appointed day. And it's in his hands, not yours. And it is appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment. So we all have a certain appointment with it. It's always interesting to me when you do a funeral service, how many times you'll watch. I've done several of them. I was part of one yesterday. One of the men, a couple that goes to our church here, he passed away very suddenly, diagnosed 9 months ago with leukemia. And in 9 months, he was gone very quickly. And yesterday, I was at his house, and about 200 people at this house, and we had a memorial service for him. And whenever I do a funeral service, I always watch people's faces. And you can always tell who have an issue with death, and it causes them great fear. I want you to hear this preacher this morning. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to learn to put to rest a fear of death. Say, well, you can't do that, Pastor Johnson, because it's so uncertain, we don't know when it will happen. But we do know this, God's appointed it unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. That should not cause us fear. It should cause us to realize the God of heaven knows. And it is a set day. Since that day is uncertain, then you and I need to be prepared for that in advance. We'll get there in a moment. Now, it is also certain, though, about death, and that is that we will all experience death. Everybody will. Stay with me. It gets more encouraging as we go along. But now look, friend, everyone is going to experience death. See, not me, Pastor Johnson. I'm a believer and I'm waiting for Jesus Christ to return. When Jesus comes back, we are going to be parted from this life to enter the next life. And that's like death. So whether we want to say, I'd rather go by the undertaker than the undertaker, doesn't make any difference. Everybody is going to experience death. All right, now we're clear about that part of it. Good. I hope you're resting comfortably this morning and that you're feeling good about yourself. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and that would include death. So how do you overcome the fear of death? This uncertainty of the day, but certainty we will experience it. How do you overcome it? Now look at me carefully. If you understand what death is, that helps first of all. This dear man yesterday that we did his funeral service last week, he was in the hospital, alert, talking, fine. Seemed like we could tell that the process of the treatment was not going well. But he seemed to be doing okay, and it would seem like he would have a few more months of life. That was on a Thursday. Friday morning, 6 o'clock, he died. Just very suddenly. But on that Thursday, I was at the hospital visiting with him. And he said, Pastor, he goes, look, he's a new Christian. I just led him to Christ a few months before he died. He said, Pastor, talk to me. How does this work? I said, about what, Dennis? And he said, you know, Pastor, when I die, how does this work? What happens? I said, Dennis, here's what death is. I said, that's it. It's not, and it's over. Death is this. It's a momentary pause from this life to the next life. So I say, I don't believe that, Pastor. I think when you're dead, that's it. That's all there is to it. Well, then you have a joyful experience in your life this morning, don't you? You have to look forward to nothing. A life and then that's it. But in reality, the Bible tells us death is just a pause between life here and the next life. And it's that quick. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Bible says. Luke chapter 16, Jesus told us about two men who lived and died on the very same day. And on the day of their death, Jesus said, and the rich man, when he died, was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Before they could put his body in the ground, he was instantly in hell. The beggar Lazarus, who died on the very same day, the Bible, Jesus said the angels came and took him across to the other side, to heaven. And just like that, see, ladies and gentlemen, that's what death is. It's that quick. It's a pause between this life and the next life. Now, can I ask you a question? What is it about that pause that should cause us fear? See, the truth is most of us fear the other side. Not this side and death, the other side of death. I've met all kinds of people, witnessed all kinds of folks in my life. And I love it when I get to talk to a skeptic. They're usually agnostics or atheists. And they'll say, that's it. You don't know what's on the other side of this life. And you know the truth is, I don't. I haven't been over there. I don't know. The truth is, I don't know what's on the other side of death. I do not know for a certainty and a fact that I can tell you this morning there is life after death. I don't know that by fact. I do know it by faith. And here's the interesting thing. These people who believe that when you're dead, you're gone, that's all there is to it. I've never seen someone say that with a smile on their face. I've never seen a happy skeptic. I don't believe that kind of stuff. When you're dead, you're gone, and that's all there is to it. They never say it laughing, joyful, happy, rejoicing. All I've got to look forward to is a box. That's it. I'm worm bait. That's wonderful, fantastic. It wakes me up every morning. It encourages me through my day that I know that when it's over, I drop dead, and that's the end of my life. Never met one. You know what fascinates me? people of faith who say, you know what? When the day comes to leave this life, I'm going home to God. And this is not all that there is. An absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I lay aside this old house of clay and rise to meet my Lord in there. Oh, yes. But even people of faith are not real excited about the thought of passing. But if we realize what death is, it is a momentary pause, a separation from this life to the next. Listen, where the spirit and soul separates from this body. It's that quick, just like that, boom, and you step into the next life. We overcome our fear of death. We know what it is. We overcome our fear of death. Now go to Hebrews chapter 2, please. We overcome our fear of death if we realize that death has been conquered, already defeated. Hebrews 2 in verse 14, please. Look at it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, and that he there is Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, look here, that through death, not to it, not to death, through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So you can get right about death, friend. You can understand, you can overcome a fear of dying if you understand death has already been overcome. When it says in verse number 14 that he, Jesus, came, took upon himself. Look, when Jesus died on the cross, ladies and gentlemen, he died in a human body. Gave his life, died on that cross, dead. They thrust a spear into his side, on the left side, ruptured the pericardium, the sac around the heart, and blood and water came out. His heart had literally ruptured with the suffering that he endured on Calvary. But when he died, my friend, they took him down from that cross and laid him in an empty tomb and sealed it and put 16 Roman soldiers out in front of it to guarantee no one could steal his body and say that he rose from the dead. But after 3 days and three nights, the stone rolled away and Jesus stepped out of that grave alive, and when he did, he punched a hole through death to show us there is a way through death, the risen, resurrected Jesus Christ. He conquered it. You imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? He conquered it. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb to the top of Mount Everest, and he did it in a suit and a tie. Well, he was wearing, knickers, wool socks. I mean a jacket, a shirt, and a tie. You know what they have now to get to the top of Mount Everest? They look like spacemen. They have oxygen tanks, and they have guides and all this stuff that take them up there. And Hillary had a guide when he went up there himself also. But he walked up there with a walking cane and a wool suit and short breeches and walked to the top of Mount Everest, and to this day, he is known as the first man to ascend to the top of Mount Everest. And when he did it, now literally hundreds of people have done the same because he did it with walking shoes, a wool suit, climbed to the top of the world's highest mountain, and because he could do that, others knew that you could climb to the top of Mount Everest because it was conquered by a guy in a wool suit and short breeches. Now think about it for a moment. You and I today have and know of and believe and understand Jesus Christ walked up to Calvary, was crucified, died, dipped his soul into death, rose from the grave after 3 days and three nights, and punched a hole through death, proving to us that death is now conquered. It's been defeated. So now listen to me carefully. That means that death is not the end. It's not over. It's not even just a passing point. Death, ladies and gentlemen, has been defeated. It's a convincing proof that death has been defeated, that Jesus has risen from that dead and from the dead. And thereby, my friend, you rest your fear of death by knowing Christ as your Savior. Now hear me. This is very simple, but man, how important. Do you know who really faces death without fear? It's not that we're not afraid to die. The thought of dying, I've been in a few incidences before in my life where I thought I was going to die. One of them was standing in Walmart behind somebody. No, that wasn't it. I was in an airplane that was supposed to crash when I was in the service. And we're flying up. I was in Greenland up in the Arctic, and we were flying up. It's a remote base. It's boring. I was an air traffic controller, and we could get flights. So we get inside the belly of the C-130. And now, I was not, you don't think commercial airlines. Nobody was walking up and down giving you peanuts, okay? It's just a bare inside airplane with little nylon jump seats. And it was cold and it was noisy in there. And you had to have headphones on. It was so loud. It had props for the engines. And we flew up to this ice cap. And they use the C-130s because they have skis that go up and down above and below the wheels so they can land on the snow and ice. They lower the skis and it just slides down onto the snow. And the C-130 prop can pitch in or pitch out to slow it up or speed it down. So we're flying up to this ice cap that was a couple hundred miles from our base. Flying up to the ice cap, sitting inside this airplane, nothing to do. See, how exciting was that? You sit there in the base and watch your hair grow. I mean, there was nothing to do. We got the headphones on. We can hear the pilot talking to the controller. Well, that's what I did for a living, so it didn't interest me at all. No, there was no stereo to switch to and no movie to watch. But it was just something to do. And we watched, just sitting in the plane, the guy landed on the snow and the ice a few times. He flies back to the base. On the way back to the base, I had the headphones on still. I hear the pilot say, okay, well, we're going to have to probably soap the runway. Now, as an air traffic controller, I know what that means. That means you're going to have a crash. And we were the only airplane in the sky. And all of a sudden, I really started paying attention. I thought, crash? So I'm listening to the pilot really close now, and he's saying, yeah, the skis won't go, one ski won't go up and lock. And so, you know what that means in the controller. I knew what that means as a controller. You got a wheel down and a ski down. This slides, that grabs, you flip the plane, and it's hasta lasagna, don't get any on you. You're gone. So I'm listening. We're flying back to the base. Crew chief comes back to us, motions to me. My buddy I was sitting there with, his last name was John Stunt. He wasn't even paying attention to what was going on. And the crew chief motioned to me. He said, did you hear that? He's yelling at me, and I got my headphone mic. Yeah. He said, okay, listen. If we land and we crash and you're still alive, run out that door, but run left. Because if you go right, you'll run right into the props. It'll kill you. Okay? And I said, okay. And he goes, oh, and if we're upside down, it's the other way. So then my buddy Johnson's watching me. He turns to me and he goes, he's motioning like this, what? And it's just a roar inside this plane. I looked at him and I went, then I told him, and you know what's the bad part is? We didn't just go back and land and find out. We had to fly around for a couple hours and burn off some fuel. You know what it's like to sit there for 2 hours wondering if you're going to die? Of course, to me, it was, I'm taking pictures and we're doing selfies and stuff. No, this is prior to those kind of days. I mean, seriously. You sit down for a couple hours and start thinking, in 2 hours, I could be burned to death, if not crushed to death, in this stupid airplane. Let me ask you a question. What would you think about? If they come up to you today and say, you got 2 hours to live. I don't think you'd be wondering about what's on TV tonight. Would you? Well, listen. I don't think you'd be checking your bank account to see how much, you know, if you've got enough month in the money out with. I don't think you'd be worried about that either. You would be thinking about one thing. I could be facing God in the next few minutes. I wasn't right with the Lord at the time. That's not a good situation. But as I sat there, first thought came to my mind was this. I better make sure I'm saved. I knew enough Bible and I knew enough what the Bible taught me that if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go to hell when you die. Burning up in an airplane will take a moment. Burning in hell forever lasts forever. And I sat there and I went over in my mind as a 9-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I thought, okay, good, good, I'm saved. Then the next thought was, but I'm not right with God. Boy, this is not a good time to meet God. I talked to the Lord for a moment, said, now, Lord, could we possibly put this off a little bit longer? I said, well, I got 2 hours to get right with the Lord, I guess. And so I sat there and, oh, I made promises. Woo, my soul. I started doing deals with God and make me look like Monty Hall. I was doing deals, ladies and gentlemen. Telling the Lord about what I was going to do and get right about things because I wanted to go out right with God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this thing about death. And you say, weren't you scared? Well, of course I was. The thought of being burned to death or crushed in an airplane crash did not enthuse me. And inevitably, when I tell this story, I don't tell how it ends, and people will say, what happened? I didn't die. I'm here. I mean, what happened? It landed and everything was okay. But that moment, ooh, that thing comes down. Whoa. Look out the window. roll out. Okay, good. All right. Everything's just fine. And then everyone's patting themselves on the back, talking about how great life is. Yeah. A couple of minutes ago, everyone was very quiet. Fear of death is overcome when you know the one who's gone through death. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is our Savior and only hope of salvation. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you certain you have eternal life as your hope when you pass from this life to the next? Better be sure now. We realize also that we overcome death when we realize many have gone before us. So, well, that doesn't encourage me. You know, one of the blessings I have as a pastor is standing beside people's bed and holding their hand and watching them go to heaven. That is a blessed privilege. And you know something? Look at me. To me, it's a very holy moment. To sit with somebody and watch them draw their last breath and the sense of God that comes in that room when they're a child of God. And realize they passed from this life to the next, just like that. And they drew one breath here, and they drew the next breath in heaven, just like that. There have been a lot of people gone ahead of us. I don't know if that encourages your thought at all about death, but you know something? That means to me that death is just a doorway. It's just as if I walk over and open that door and step to the other side this morning. Death then becomes a doorway. Look here. We don't have to fear death. You know why? Because without that, without death, we can't leave this life behind. Now for some folks, they're so dug in. They're so fearful of this life. They're so fearful of what giving up this life will mean to them that they think to themselves, oh no, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. J. Paul Getty, when he died, they found he had put money underneath his blankets and was holding them in his fists when he drew his last breath. I've watched people go out of this life who did not know God. It is not a pleasant experience. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Listen now, listen. We can't leave this life behind until death comes. Now, I want to be very careful when I say this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. That does not give anybody permission to hasten their departure from this life. I'm talking about suicide. We do not even consider that as an option. That is not on the table for the child of God. And it's not because it dooms your soul to hell. It's because you're taking an act, a hand that God is supposed to have. You don't do that. But let's be clear about something. We can't leave this life behind until we pass from this life. We can't do it. So if some people think, oh, my soul, and they got all these crazy ideas today of how to make your life last longer, how about having a life that's worth having to last longer? But more importantly than that, this life, ladies and gentlemen, will not pass until we pass from this life. So this death is a doorway now. Hey, you know what? It's a doorway. We cannot get to heaven until we leave this life. It's right there on the other side, just a heartbeat away, and it's waiting for us there. It's a doorway, don't you see? Don't you understand? It's a doorway from this life to heaven, to home. It's a doorway to a great reunion. All those dear people we've sent and passed over on that other side, they're right there, right now, waiting for us. I don't know who's the first person we get to see, and I don't know if there's a welcoming committee on the other side of this life. I have no idea. I've heard people talk about it. They make movies. Even Hollywood makes movies about this kind of stuff. By the way, don't trust Hollywood's understanding about the Bible and eternity and that kind of stuff. Please stay with what the Bible tells you. I don't know. Maybe the first face we see is Jesus. I don't know. I hope so. I got a bunch of people over there. And as soon as we leave this life, we go see them in a place where there are no more goodbyes. Now, if there's something that wonderful on the other side of that door, wouldn't you want to go? And the only thing that's keeping us from that is passing from this life to the next. The fear of death is conquered by the authority of Jesus' death and resurrection and our dependence on the authority of the Word of God to assure us that absent from the body means present with the Lord. And God is not going to leave us or forsake us for any reason at any moment. And when that time comes, it's close. I had an old book in my library I found years ago in an old used bookstore. It was about the life after, and it was a whole collection of different stories, sermons, and things about life after death by preachers and things. Part of that book, one chapter, was about children's deathbed experiences, what they said. And there was a little boy who was very ill in those days when people passed at home. And this little boy was very ill. Doctors did all they could, and finally they said, there's nothing else, he will pass. As the father sat beside his bed, and the little boy said, Daddy, am I going to die? And he said, Son, it would look like that. He said, what's it like, Daddy? What's death like? He said, well, son, it's like coming to a great vast river at night and crossing in the dark. After a little bit of more time passed, the little boy said, Daddy, one more time, what is death like? He said, son, it's like a great vast river that you cross at night and you get to the other side. And as the little boy came to his last moments before he died, he said, Daddy, it is not a river. It is but a brook. And step from this life to the next. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.